Harry, I have no idea where this will lead us, but I have a definite feeling it will be a place both wonderful and strange.
About Ready Player One?
I have not read the book Ready Player One. The movie looks like it'll be cool, but I feel like I should maybe experience the book because a lot of people have told me that it's a really good book.
It's a good book. It's like a cool book that's kind of like really like video game inspired and a lot of 80s awesome stuff going on. And it's one of those books too where it's like there's a segment where I'm pretty sure there's like Godzilla fighting Voltron with like the DeLorean flying between its legs. Like it's just like, you know, not so.
But are you ready to talk about Twin Peaks now?
I'm always ready to talk about Twin Peaks.
Let's get, because this is Same Peaks, y'all, the podcast where two library geeks talk about the TV show Twin Peaks.
Uh-huh.
One episode every 2 weeks. Or sometimes or sometimes 4 weeks.
Or 4 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever. We're reporting live from the R&R Diner.
Again.
So you may hear Miss Norma cooking up some...
I think she's cooking up some eggs and
some
bacon.
Some hash browns, maybe. Mm. And maybe a pie.
Yeah, some delicious...
What's that? Hot damn, that pie. That's some good pie. What episode are we talking about today?
We are talking about Twin Peaks Season 2... Episode 4, also known as Laura's Secret Diary.
My God. Laura's Secret Diary. This Laura's got so many secrets.
So many
secrets. Because remember, we had found her diary before.
Yeah, well, that's what we thought. But this is her secret diary.
Yeah, okay. And for if you're a new listener, I have partial facial blindness and I'm not good with names. So there are many times I will ask Tess... What's that person's name again? Such as the one guy that has a secret diary.
Harold.
Harold has a secret diary. That was a test.
We'll go through that. Eric, by the way, has never watched the TV show Twin Peaks until we started making those podcasts. So he's watching all of these episodes for the first time. I am a little bit of a Twin Peaks super fan. It's my favorite TV show. And I have seen all of these episodes. But I feel like I'm seeing them through new eyes now that I'm experiencing them with you.
You're seeing them through my eyes.
Yeah. Boy.
Oh, boy.
What eyes they are.
What eyes those are. If you are if you are a new listener, like you are listening to this cast right now, this is the first episode, and you're now watching Twin Peaks for the first time, I suggest going back and listening to our previous episodes and going through all the Twin Peaks episodes as well. You know, sure, and then see the world through my beautiful eyes.
And if you have seen all of Twin Peaks already and you want to write in with your opinions, you can email us at samepeaksyall@gmail.com. I am manning the email so that Eric does not get spoiled and get attacked by the spoiler dove.
Which, by the way, Tess, speaking of that spoiler dove who will peck my eyeballs out if I see any spoilers, our Twitter account for this cast, which is...
At Same Team, y'all.
Mm-hmm. We're following a group called the Bookhouse Babes.
Yeah, I had to unfollow them because...
Thank you.
They were spoiling episodes.
Yeah, I was about to say, because I think they're totally nice. And it's weird because they're spoiling episodes for something that's been out already,
well,
right?
That's the thing. This TV show's been out for decades.
So I can't be upset with them, but... That dove, every time I check the Twitter account, the dove would land right on my shoulder.
That's right. I went ahead and unfollowed them. We can refollow them once we finish.
Yeah, of course. And they seem very cool. Yeah, very cool. That's a great name, too.
Bookhouse Babes.
Bookhouse Babes. The the dove, every time I check our Twitter account, would sit on my shoulder and stare at my eyes. And then I swear to God, lick its beak. And just lick it and stare at me intently. And I'm very glad we stopped following the Bookhouse Babes because...
Oh boy.
I just talked about how beautiful my eyes are, right?
We don't want them pegged out.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and get into our recap segment. This is the segment where I recap the episode and Eric fills in with his color commentary as he sees fit.
Mm-hmm.
And the episode opens up with Leland freaking out.
Yeah.
There's like this really trippy scene, mm-hmm. and you hear Laura saying, "Daddy, Daddy." And this is all while he's being interrogated. He waives his right to an attorney because he's an attorney.
I forgot about that.
I thought that you might have forgotten.
Yeah, I was like, wait, that's a terrible idea. Oh, okay, maybe that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Carry on, good sir.
I think they mentioned that he's a lawyer in, like, the first episode of the first season, and then I don't think it's become consequential
and
again until
like
now.
And he's Ben's lawyer, right?
He is, yeah. Okay. That's how they were working together. He confesses to killing Jacques Renault because he thought that Jacques Renault had killed Laura.
Mystery solved.
Yeah.
He did kill Jacques Renault.
He did.
Even though we saw it, but confirmed.
He also has this, like, whole, like, monologue about grief. And it's actually quite moving.
Yeah.
Which that really, actor is so excellent.
I talked about this at the beginning of the season that, like, mm-hmm. the way he portrays, like, how it is to lose a daughter. Oh, my God. You know? This show's just supposed to be... This is the thing. People sell the show to me when they're like, you should watch Twin Peaks. And they're like, yeah, it's just about some goofy people living in a town and there's a murder. I'm not supposed to be sitting there thinking about, like, the death of my daughter. You know what I mean? Like, it gets serious at times.
It was very moving. And there is this kind of moment, Doc Hayward kind of brings it up, where he's feeling sympathetic towards Leland. And this is a man who's committed a murder. He killed Jacques Renault. And
he moited him. Some would say he immortalized him.
but in a way, you are kind of like, yeah, that tracks. Like,
but what's so messed up is Jacques Renault didn't even kill Laura.
Yeah. Whoa.
Not that's okay, but he didn't even kill Laura.
Andy, while we're talking about Doc Hayward, Andy kind of goes up to the doc and says, he's got a medical question for him. It's about my sperms.
It's about my sperms. Andy's so great.
Also, the doc is just like, here, give me a sample right now.
Give me a sample. Oh my God.
He just carries around sperm samples.
So guys, inside podcasting, I usually watch the episode the night before we record. That's how we do it. Like, before we record the podcast.
So it's fresh on your mind.
But if you do listen to this podcast regularly, you know that we're behind schedule, right? So I've watched it 2 weeks ago now, because I watched it back then. And so if you ever hear me go, oh, that's because it just hit me.
But the
whole subplot of Andy trying to find a place to release his sperms.
So
amazing. It's one of the most amazing things I've ever experienced in my whole life.
There's that hilarious scene where he's taking a Flesh World magazine into the restroom and he bumps into Lucy and she's just like, harumph!
She's not into it.
No. Well, I think she thinks that her ex is being a creeper. Like,
it is in his workplace.
He's masturbating in his workplace, but she doesn't realize that it's for medical purposes.
First of all,
I wish that Andy had just said something.
It's for medical. We're in a weird spot now, because generally, and tell me if I'm right, mm-hmm. generally not okay to masturbate in the bathroom of your workplace.
I would say that's correct.
Okay, let's say a doctor tells you need to. I need it right now. Is that okay now? Like, I talk to my boss and be like, by the way, I gotta do this? I feel like that's a thing you take home and do.
Yeah, I guess I guess if I would...
But Doc Hayward said now.
If I were in that situation.
Doc Hayward said, give it to me now. Not give it to me, but give it to this cup.
Yeah, and then give the cup to me.
Such a funny story. Oh my goodness.
That was really funny.
Yeah, sperms.
The judge arrives today, which I guess they don't have a judge in the town of Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to drive in. Hawk has a report about Robertson, because mm-hmm. Leland mentioned that there was someone named Robertson who, like, he said that he knew Bob. His name was Robertson, and he, like, I guess scared him as a child at their family retreat. But Hawk reports that there was no Robertson.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Yeah. Thanks, Hawk.
There's another funny Andy scene where Coop is talking to him. He's like updating him on the case or something. And Andy's like, can I go now? I don't know how much time I have. Because he drops his sperm sample and he's got to pick it up off the ground. And that's when Coop sees his shoes. That's what's going on.
But still, such a... Can you imagine?
So funny.
It's such a funny joke. Well, it's kind of on Doc, though, because Doc gave him the pressure.
Yeah, right? He did.
Yeah.
He did. They're going to do another sample of his sperms.
Maybe he's okay now.
We'll find
maybe
out.
Maybe his sperms are good. Maybe he's going to we'll be a dad. Find out.
So there's a kind of a subplot going on throughout this whole episode about a travel writer / restaurant critic who's coming to town. M.T. Wentz, I think, or D.T. Wentz. I don't know. I'm not reading my my notes very well. But this person is coming to town. And we get told this by person of color. Oops, I dropped the highlighter.
Was that a mic drop?
I was so excited.
We did. By the way, she's such a great new character.
She's so cool.
Oh my gosh, she's so funny.
Her name is Louie, and she works the concierge, and she has got the lowdown about this person coming in. Now, nobody knows what this person looks like. We only know that they're mysterious and that they pay in cash wherever they go. So they're going to be on the lookout, and she's also going to send them over to the Double Art Diner. So... that hopefully Norma can get some good press out of this as well. So they're awaiting this person maybe coming to the Great Northern. And then Ben Horn, after he has that conversation, he walks into his office and there is Jean Renault.
Yeah.
Jacques Renault's brother? Cousin? Someone in the nasty Renault family.
A Renault.
All the Renaults are bad. And this is another bad Renault. And he shows him the video of Audrey that he made.
Ben sobers up fast, too.
And he says he wants to go into business with Ben. So
no, actually, I think he said, you want to go on the business. You want to go to business with me, Mr. Ben Horn.
It's worth noting that Jean Renault has a really bad French-Canadian
accent. You, the daughter. I like it. I like it a lot, actually.
He wants
soothing.
A lot of money for Audrey.
In 90s dollars.
In 90s dollars. And he wants Coop to deliver the money.
Because he's got a vendetta against Coop.
He does. And... Ben says something horrible to the, he says, this is supposed to be an equitable exchange, basically saying that I don't think my daughter's worth all of that money and all the trouble that we're going through.
You think that's what he's saying?
That's what it felt like to me.
This was weird. I think he meant more that, like, I think he wants his daughter back, but I think he means more like, what is he getting out of having a Coop do it? I thought.
Oh, you know? You thought it was specifically about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, he has no beef against Coop, right?
I guess, but, well, it's putting his butt on the line to get an FBI agent, like...
Maybe that's the thing?
Yeah, I don't know.
He wants his daughter back, though. I don't think that's in question.
I just felt like he was not a good dad in that moment. Like, I feel like most people would be like, yes, anything to get my daughter back.
Well, let's pretend Leland... his daughter was kidnapped by Jacques Renault. Or what's the new Renault?
Jean Renault.
Jean Renault. Too many Renaults. I mean, he would give him anything, right?
Yeah.
So maybe you're right about
that. Different parenting styles.
How many dads do we have on the show? Leland, Ben. Are those the two dads?
Doc Hayward is Donna's dad.
Oh, that's right. Doc Hayward. Is that the three dads?
Maybe Andy. Maybe Dick, Andy. And maybe Dick Tremaine. We don't know.
If his sperms are better. It'd be interesting to watch the show again and just, like, analyze the three dad styles, the three different parenting styles.
Donna looks real pretty today because she's going to have lunch with Harold.
So weird.
I don't understand. So freaking weird. Like,
She's all in the... guys, this is the zone of no judging, so no judging on Donna. But what the heck is going on here? Why is she so smitten with this dude?
I'm not sure. I think she's...
Is he a really good-looking dude?
I mean,
to you. I'm asking you, Tess.
Me, personally, I'm not into him.
Are any of your lady signals going off right now?
No. No.
Okay.
Definitely not. Actually, like, maybe in the negative.
Whoa! Some of the lights broke.
Not necessarily because he's ugly. I don't think he's, like, physically ugly. I just think, like, the fact that he lives alone with a bunch of flowers is creepy. Like, yeah. I'm just not into it.
Also, he seems a little creepy, too.
He's kind of creepy.
Do you want
to... We'll revisit that. We're going to revisit how creepy he is.
You want to read the diary together?
Norma and Hank seem to be having a genuinely good time with each other. Yep. Again, Hank is fooling us because we know that he's not a nice guy.
He tricked me again.
But he's acting like it. He says he's going to trick out the diner. And he even says, you should call Big Ed. And because Big Ed has the gas station in town. And if somebody mysterious comes through, he'll be able to tip us off. And Norma's like, oh, great. Yeah. But I mean,
I think she's worried because it's weird that it's like
it is
the
weird.
Guy she's sleeping with.
Yeah.
And her husband's
and
back.
And her husband, who I guess he's definitely trying to portray himself as like being fully reformed and like.
And fully excited about fixing the
fixing up the diner yeah. for this restaurant critic who might be coming through.
Yeah.
Here's Donna drinking wine with Harold. And he says, shall we read something? From Laura's diary.
Okay, so...
So creepy!
Hanging out... So, okay, have you ever been on a date, Tess, where you're dating someone and then they go, by the way, would you like to read this diary of someone else?
Of your dead friend?
Of your dead friend. Yeah, would you like to read a diary of your dead friend?
In fact, we'll read a passage where she basically, like, trolls you. Yeah. No thanks.
So weird.
I'd rather not.
That doesn't sound like fun. Donna didn't seem to enjoy it.
Yeah, and they read about Laura's fantasies. Because this is apparently, like, her nasty diary.
Laura's a very sexual young lady.
Yeah, and she writes about how she doesn't think that Donna would understand her fantasies. And, Donna does kind of press him and like, why don't you give this to the police?
And he was like,
Well, he says, there's no evidence in here.
Yeah, because I'm a police officer as well. I'm also an orchid farmer.
Well, and also, this is what he does. He keeps people's secrets like a living novel. That's how he describes
He's
himself.
He's a living novel.
That's how he describes himself.
We're two librarians. Have you ever met a living novel before?
No.
Neither have I.
Now, I mean, I guess I can see the appeal of keeping someone's secrets or having someone to keep your secrets. But I don't know. Harold Smith creeps me out, man.
I like that you're like, I can see that, but he still creeps me out.
Ben manipulates Coop. He's like, I know you and my daughter have like a special relationship.
That's weird.
Right? It is weird. And we find out the large amount of money is $125,000 in cash. That's what he needs to deliver.
Where did he get, does he just have that much money on hand?
Well, I mean, Ben Horn's a pretty wealthy guy.
So he has that amount of cash on hand?
I guess so. Or I guess he's going to take out a loan. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't doubt that he has that much cash he can get. But I mean, I don't think that, like, for example, the Twin Peaks, like, a community bank. I don't think we'll be
able... They probably don't have that much cash.
I need a withdrawal. You know what I mean?
$125,000.
I don't think they do, so...
Yeah.
Maybe he's got, like, a Scrooge McDuck, like, vault somewhere.
He does. Josie returns to town. She's got lots of shopping bags.
Josie.
She seems not to know anything about Catherine. And, yeah. It's kind of, like, sad, sweet moment when Pete tells her what happened to Catherine and she comforts him. But her story checks out. She says she was shopping. She's got lots of shopping bags.
She was shopping. She's got shopping bags. Case closed, guys.
Case closed.
Case closed. Go home. Harold will know because he's also a police officer. He knows what evidence is and when the case is closed.
Oh, there's this poor Audrey. There's a scene where she's strung out on heroin.
Oh, yeah.
The camera is moving and there's an echo. And then Jean Renault kills Emery right in front of her. Emery,
Emery punched her or something,
was the
right?
bad boss. From the
he
department
was not a
store.
Great boss.
No, he was. He was, and he's also into some interesting sexual inclinations that we're not judging
him. Yeah, I was just about to say, hey, we can judge him on it.
Will judge him that he is a bad boss because he is recruiting young women into prostitution.
That's typically not a good thing.
No.
I think he punched Audrey, too. Isn't that why Jean killed him?
I don't remember.
Because she had a big old, she had a black eye.
Oh, yeah.
And then Jean was like, where did this black eye come from? And can you do a Jean Reno impression? Yeah.
Audrey.
Oh, yours is
I'm
better.
I'm going to get you high on this Halloween.
Audrey.
It's time to ride the tiger.
They found her high on heroin.
Oh, no. Pete.
Oh, here comes Andy. Oh, boy. Oh, oh, oh. Lucy, why are you so high on heroin? Oh, my God. Doc, you think it affect my sperms? This is so stupid.
Speaking of Lucy,
yes,
Coop has a heart-to-heart with Lucy, and we find out a little more background to this whole love triangle.
I appreciate getting more info, too, on that.
Apparently, Lucy and Andy dated for about a year and a half. They broke up. She broke up with him because she had concerns. Like, for instance, he doesn't drive a very expensive car. And they were pretty superficial concerns.
He owns no sports jackets.
Yeah. In my opinion, they were pretty superficial concerns.
How old is Lucy supposed to be? Because she's still a young woman.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, she's still figuring things out.
So then she briefly dated Dick, who owns a nice car.
And he has many sports
Lots of coats. Sports
Well, because he probably just borrows them from the men's department where he works.
And now she just doesn't know who she wants.
Who would you choose? Tough choice, right?
Who, me? Who would I choose? Yeah. Choose Andy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be Andy, right?
Dick is not doing it for me.
Oh, preggers. The next thing we do on our Dennis cast is we move on to a Twin Peaks inspired audio drama.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine?
I love it.
If we worked on our voices, I think we can get something really special.
We could.
Who would be Coop, though? That's the thing.
Oh, man. Maybe, like, I'll be Coop and you'll be all the other characters.
What if you'll be Coop and I'll be all the... It's like a one-man show. Oh, God. That's a terrible idea. No one wants to listen to me do that.
Coop asks Harry for his best bookhouse boy. Because he's gonna go do this money exchange. It's gonna be off the files.
It's gonna be dangerous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he needs a bookhouse boy to back him up. And Harry will send his best at 9:30 at the Roadhouse when they're gonna meet up. Then a mysterious stranger comes into the Double R Diner. Is it the restaurant critic? No, it's not.
Everyone's looking like,
Yeah, he just orders a burger. And I feel bad because apparently Double R has a regular named Toad. And Hank moves Toad into the kitchen so that he doesn't ruin this critic's experience. But it's not the critic because we know because Hank steals his wallet and looks and sees that it's this guy Ludwig who is the prosecutor because apparently the town doesn't have a prosecutor either.
He can't be the prosecutor and a secret food critic. Because, I mean, that's not the person's real name, right? Like, it's like a secret pen. It's like not a pen name.
Oh, is that one of the mysteries?
That's what
Should I highlight it?
I do think it, because I think it could still be the right person. And I think there's a good point, because I think Norma says something at one point, like, oh, maybe ordering a burger is, like, his thing, you know?
Oh,
like,
he orders a burger everywhere he goes.
And by the way, it was kind of weird that they, like, made the... I mean, I understand you want to make your diner look really nice, but they made it look not like what it... typically is, right? Like, to me, making it nice is, you know, clean the floors, right? And do that, but not,
they
like...
They got all tablecloths.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You don't want to be inauthentic, so just my thoughts.
That would be your critique of the restaurant.
That would be my... If I was a critique... it was
Maybe
me.
Maybe it's you.
It was me the whole time. Give me a hamburger.
Speaking of other people in the diner, Maddie and Donna are there. They are having a very tense...
Yes.
Conversation.
Because Donna's upset because she thinks Maddie and James have a thing going on.
Well, Maddie and James did kiss.
But that doesn't mean they have a thing going on, right?
Yeah.
I mean, kisses just happen sometimes.
Meanwhile, Donna is going to get that diary, and she needs Maddie's help.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's happening.
Maddie drinks no soda in the scene.
I mean, you're theory that she's automated is just, you know,
she has been programmed to kiss.
But not to eat.
And smile awkwardly.
Drink. And to destroy her own glasses.
And destroy her own glasses, but oh, not man. To drink soda. She's not that advanced yet.
Josie puts on a little fashion show for Harry.
This is a difficult scene for me.
She's very upset that Harry doesn't trust her. She's also, like, she's kind of seducing Harry. Like, as he's kind of trying to question her, she's like, hold me, take me, tear my outfit that I just bought.
Is this your jersey impression?
Yes,
this
my is so jersey. Great. Tear it. And then,
tear it.
I need you, I want you.
Tear it, Harry, tear
and,
it.
And Harry, also, why did she tear it? Like, she just said
well,
how much
I
she
know
loved
why she
that
did. So
outfit.
Here's, I now think, so I've told you from the beginning I didn't trust Josie.
Right.
Amanda thinks Josie is a man.
Right.
And it's to me, it's weird. Why is it a secret relationship?
Yeah.
Right? I keep going back to that. I think Josie might be the real secret, like the mastermind the whole time.
Right.
Because I think she's very smart when it comes to Harry. Because Harry's...
manipulating.
Harry is... has some strong suits. He has some, what should I say?
Perhaps not detective work.
Perhaps not detective work, but I think, like, he's kind of like a, you know, he's a kind of like a macho woodsman kind of guy.
Yeah,
and she knows how
fair.
To play that. Like, mm-hmm. I think she bought that dress, and who knows, she might have just got it from a thrift store and put it in some fancy bags.
She bought it to tear it.
Yeah, I bet she even tore it a little bit so that when he used his arms, he felt like really strong. And I think that's what she's playing up, like, tear it. And he's like, I'm real strong, you know? She's playing into like that part.
Meanwhile,
because it's not easy to tear dresses.
No. Although that one looked like it was just kind of made of lace or something.
Probably made
like
to
that.
Tear. It's a tearaway dress.
It's a tearaway dress. while she's seducing him, the what I've been referring to as the menacing Asian man is watching them. Although you've pointed out perhaps he's not menacing. Maybe that's just how he looks.
Yeah.
But he's like watching them.
That scene was
from
very
outside.
That was definitely menacing.
It was
I
pretty
think.
Menacing.
Yeah.
The judge arrives. He's an interesting character. He calls Lucy good looking and he asks for a hug. And he says to somebody, are they having filly trouble? And if she won't take the saddle and I don't know.
Harry describes him, I think, as like a true outdoorsman or something like that. So, or something like a frontiersman. So he's saying some things that to today's ears... probably not
doesn't
okay.
Doesn't sound good.
These are not things, let me put this, these are not things I would say to my female coworkers.
I think I was very sensitive to this because of the whole kind of like Me Too, Time's Up movement that's been going on.
Thank you.
I was sitting there watching that just feeling very uncomfortable. Like, Lucy, you do not have to take this kind of harassment.
Yeah.
But maybe in the 90s, maybe.
Is that pretty much what, 30 years ago?
Yeah. Man.
I mean, a lot changes
a
in
lot
30
has
years.
Changed.
You know?
Oh, the judge asks Coop, how do you find our little corner? And Coop says, heaven. Really, Coop? Okay.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. It's just like the creepy murder town. But
he loves it. He loves it.
He really does.
With
it's heaven
heart.
For him.
Yeah.
Dick comes in. He's acting awfully romantic. Or so,
this is such a great turn,
or
too.
Or so we thought.
Because you think he's going to propose.
Yeah, because he's apologizing and he's telling her.
Lucy, I'm so sorry. Lucy.
And he tells her he can't sleep at night because he just wants to make this okay. And he gives her $650 for an abortion.
Does that track?
I don't know. I've not had an abortion.
In the 90s.
So I don't know how much one costed.
Wait. For the record, that was not me going, does that track? Because you've had abortions recently. I just mean, like, if you did the research to see if that was...
I don't know.
Because I know
do
you
any.
Take notes.
I
so.
Do. I didn't do any research, but I mean, that sounds about right, I guess. But really, the point is that Lucy has no intention of getting an abortion. And she tells Dick to never speak to her again.
Ooh, can I make a prediction right now?
Go ahead.
Lucy's child, a grown-up-ish person in the return.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to say. Maybe, maybe not, maybe, maybe, maybe not, maybe,
maybe,
maybe not.
Maybe one of the best parts of the return.
Knock it off. That dove is circling my head.
Leland and the judge speak. to each other, and I just thought the scene was kind of cool because the lightning in the background.
Well, also, there's a storm going on the whole time.
Yeah.
It's a very kind of, like, creepy...
It is a stormy episode. It's a dark and stormy episode of Twin Peaks.
So stormy. And it's, like, really, like, kind of... Not as creepy as, like, the... What episode was it where we had those flashbacks or scenes of the monster type stuff?
Yeah.
Like, that was really creepy. But this was really just, scary. Like, spooky. Like, ooh.
But people I think
tearing dresses.
Yeah, like everyone is just feeling not great about the whole situation of having to put a guy away for killing someone who he thought killed his daughter.
It's the law.
Yeah, and they're talking about how they all have hard jobs. Yeah. And then
I actually like that scene because we have hard jobs.
Yeah, and then Sid comes in, who's a beautiful young law clerk, and I guess she's in kind of a live-in situation with the judge. That's the thing that happens.
Coop kind of had a moment with her, didn't he?
What do you think?
He had a moment with someone. So this is the me trying to remember. He had a moment. So I thought he did. Not a moment, but
I think they all kind of had a moment.
Oh, maybe it was just a manly, like a man appreciating a beautiful woman. Oh, maybe that's it. I thought he had I was like, is he moving from Audrey? Is he going to? I actually thought that scene that he was going to be like, maybe I won't do the job. Our jobs are hard.
No.
Sometimes, and I was thinking, you know how he says every day you give yourself a gift? I thought. He was going to be like, let me ask this woman, see if she wants to go get my number and at the hotel.
Oh, wow.
You know? Is that a thing people do?
I don't know.
Yeah. He said, oh, wow.
Back at the Great Northern, a mysterious man has arrived. By the way, they're having, like, a beauty pageant in the background. Did you notice?
Yes.
The Tri-County Lumber Queens pageant is happening in the background. Ben Horn is familiarizing himself with the contestants. But a mysterious man with a Fu Manchu has arrived and introduces himself as Mr. Tajimura, and he is paying in cash. So, could be the secret critic.
Could be.
Could be.
Could be related to the menacing, creepy...
There's a lot of menacing Asian men. Is this another menacing Asian man?
He didn't seem menacing, but he could be friends with the menacing Asian man.
This is the mysterious Asian man.
I realize I've been forgetting to tell you to highlight things, but I've noticed you've been highlighting things anyway.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
Do you want me to highlight Mr. Tajimura?
Yeah.
Do you have any...
Okay. Maybe. Yeah, sure.
So, the menacing Asian man, does... Josie introduces him as her cousin, and they're, like, talking business, but they're, he's asking, like, are we suspected?
Yeah.
And then she also says to him, that sheriff means nothing to her.
She's talking about Sheriff Harry.
Of course she is.
Truman.
Yeah. I guess she doesn't really love him.
Oh, man.
Surprise.
What a surprise.
Speaking of Harry, Harry arrives at the Roadhouse to help Coop because he is the best bunkhouse.
Now, if Harry means nothing to Josie, Harry means everything
to Coop.
To Coop.
That's the true romance.
They're just looking. He's like, you got me. That's right. I'm the best bookhouse boy.
Yeah, they're going to help each other out. Then the menacing Asian man pays Hank a visit. Hank does some questionable martial arts.
Oh god, it's such a great scene. He like whips his leg up and I'm like, boy, you did not do any stretches today.
And then they do their weird blood brother thing again. They're always like,
so does that mean they're friends?
Are they in business together now? I don't know, but that's where the episode ends.
Hank didn't die, right?
No,
they just
did the blood thing
to him.
Yeah, I think Hank's still around. Unfortunately.
Something weird's going on. Maybe they know that Hank has been reading books on Asian philosophy.
Thank you.
I was trying to figure out what he said. Oriental philosophy. Hank. God.
It's time for us to discuss the so many mysteries.
Can you do that as a character from Twin Peaks?
This is the time that we talk about so many mysteries.
Thank you.
Uh,
Okay. I do the next segment as another character.
Yes.
That's how we'll do it.
Let's do it. Okay.
So many mysteries.
So
swimming in mysteries.
Did you have any mysteries like right off the bat you definitely wanted to tackle?
Right off the bat. So this was a weird episode. Like, I think it moved things along. Mm-hmm. I don't think it introduced too many new mysteries other than who is the actual food critic.
Right.
That is a mystery.
That is a mystery.
I don't have any off the bat. So, like, if you were kind of doing, like, highlights as we go
looking
through, you know?
You had mentioned that the prosecutor could also be the food critic.
Yeah, I do think that's a really good point. That
or maybe the judge. He just travels in and out of town.
Yeah. I mean, who knows, right? It could be
anyone. You're definitely not believing that Josie is sincere in any way, right?
Her affections towards Harry?
Or, I don't know. How do you feel about Josie right now? Like, there's been incriminating moments with her.
I don't know what she's up to. Mm-hmm. That girl ain't up to any good, is what I'm saying.
Do you think she doesn't care for Harry?
No, she does not care for Harry.
Aww.
I don't know what her game plan is,
poor
but
Harry.
She does not. Yeah. Maybe she asked him to keep it a secret, the relationship.
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know why. Maybe she asked him to keep it a secret. Because then it'd be easier.
Maybe
for, like,
she's ashamed of Harry. But he's got such great hair.
Maybe she's ashamed at Harry. Well, that's why he got his name, Harry. Maybe she's ashamed of Harry because of how poor he is at ripping dresses. And that's why she always goes out and buys dresses and pre-rips them a little bit. And then rips it. And she pre-rips them less and less each time to work him up to ripping a full dress without any rips in it.
I highlighted Lucy, but I don't remember why. Something to do with her and Dick Tremaine and Andy.
About, like, her kid?
Yeah, how she doesn't want to get an abortion.
I think it's interesting, too. Yeah, I mean, that's good for her. That's a tough decision.
It is.
For anyone to have to make.
Right.
And she seems set in her mind.
She is dead set on
this. She is going to keep this baby.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's a hard work to raise a child on your own. Although, if Andy's the dad, or to be honest, even if Andy's not the dad, if he's a great guy, he might help her out, mm-hmm. you know? But boy, I am interested to see how this plays out.
Yeah. And then Mr. Tajimura, do you have any... The new mysterious
How
Fu
often
Manchu.
Do you get to say the word Fu Manchu, right? Not too often, right?
No.
Yeah.
That's why I'm really taking it all in.
Yeah.
Fu Manchu.
Fu Manchu. I don't know what's going on. There's something going on, and I can't even really offer a theory at this point. I do have another mystery just occurred to me. Where did Andy end up masturbating?
Oh, I think he went in the restroom.
Did he do it just in there?
I think so.
Yeah? Even though he had that situation with Lucy? I thought he walked away. Like, I thought he got nervous.
Maybe he found another place to do it real quick. But he had to do it real quick. He didn't know how much time he had.
Until Doc left.
Right.
Okay.
Eric, it's been, like, what, a whole month since you watched this episode? But do you have a quotable quotation?
Oh, Lucy. Maybe I have a quotable quotation. That's a terrible Andy. I'm off my game.
I have one. Just a really quick one. It's the when Coop is talking to Lucy and he's trying to get the lowdown on the whole, like, love triangle.
Yeah.
He asks her, and it just makes me laugh when he asks her, "Are you still seeing this dick?" Because he says it so sincerely, but it's just,
you know,
hilarious.
I wrote down a favorite quote from this episode, and it was in that conversation. It wasn't that exact quote, but I didn't bring it with me.
He does give her, like, some advice.
It was something. That's what it was. Can I just say it was that?
Sure.
Thank you.
Hey, do you have an MVP for this episode?
I 1,000% do.
Oh, okay. Who is your MVP for
my
this
episode? My MVP of this episode is Andy. Just
okay.
The whole... Him trying to figure out where to release his sperm.
Comedy of errors.
Was just really funny. And, like, can you imagine?
Well, no,
it's
I can't imagine.
It's a tough spot because here's the deal. Like, okay.
I think it's meant to be a kind of a ridiculous situation.
Yeah, pretend that you're walking around work, right?
Okay.
So you're at the library.
Right.
And you've got a cup, pretend you're a man, and you've got a cup of your sperm. Okay. Thank you, right? It's amazing. Oh, my goodness. And then you drop it, and it starts rolling on your chairs and stuff. Because of that, Andy is my MVP. And also, I think that Andy's a really cool dude, too.
I chose Louie, the concierge girl.
Yeah. She was really cool as a new character.
She was so cool. And she... is on top of this critic situation. She's like looking out for, like, she got the scoop that they were coming into town.
A hot scoop.
And she's been looking out for them, and she's going to send them over to Norma. And she's super professional behind the concierge desk. And I just really dug her.
She was actually, it was nice to get a new character, a new person of color on the show, mm-hmm. which doesn't happen every day, or every episode, I should say. And she was actually really funny, too. Like, her, like, enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a shame, because she's working for Ben.
You know? She doesn't actively get harassed by Ben in this episode, which is great.
Yeah, good for you, Ben. You didn't actively harass her in this episode. Congratulations.
Hey, Eric, how many fish in a percolator would you give this episode?
You'd never guess. There was a fish in the percolator.
Did we decide we can do points? Like decimal points?
Yeah, we can do that.
I'd give them a solid 3.5 for this episode. I thought it was a really good episode. It moved things along. But I like the episodes where I was like, I don't know what is going on. And I felt this one, I had a good idea of, like, at least I don't know what's going on with all the menacing people in town and Josie and all that. But it was a good episode.
I gave this one a 3 out of 5.
Ooh,
fish in a percolator. 5,
less than
Eric. It's funny because when I was watching this one, Brett doesn't usually watch the episodes with me, but he watched this one with me. And his memory of watching Twin Peaks with me was that at some point in the second season, things began to turn very weird and bizarre. And he watched this episode with me and he was like, I feel like this is the turning point.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for it to get really weird and bizarre. I mean, like this was the safe episode.
It was. I think Harold is bizarre. Like, and the way that Donna is acting is very bizarre.
Okay, now, at the risk of offending you.
Uh-oh, go ahead.
Just because I know you love the show.
I do.
I mean, Donna acting bizarre, could that also just be, like, not great character writing? You know what I mean? Like, could it just be her being written in a way that makes no sense for any human being to act like?
It could definitely.
Yeah, I think that's part of the charm. Like, a lot of times I was like, was that on purpose?
Yeah. And something interesting about, I guess it's, like, maybe episodic television in general, like, episodic network television, or it could be a product of its time, but I feel like we're in this era of what they call, like, peak TV, where it's, like, these great television shows, like, you know, Game of Thrones, Mr. Robot, like,
Stranger Things.
Yeah, it's all these, like, really amazing television
shows. Very well written, super high quality.
And very consistent, like, for instance, Stranger Things, every single episode is written and directed by the Duffer Brothers. So their you know, brand is on everything. Whereas, like, Twin Peaks, when it was being produced back then, it was like a David Lynch, Mark Frost joint. But they weren't involved in every single episode. They didn't direct every episode. They didn't write every episode. And the network had a lot to say about what they were doing. And at this point...
What do you think they said?
Well, at this point in the series, they were very upset that... that Laura's killer has not been discovered yet. They wanted that stuff wrapped up in the first season. So the fact that they've drawn it out, and I guess it was David Lynch's intention to never tell you. You do find out. I will tell you.
Do you not see the dove over my head? What just happened, Tess? Oh my God.
I'm not telling you who.
I didn't know you found out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you'd want to know.
Give me a dove noise.
Cool.
No, I never knew.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. It's a television show from the 1990s.
So do you find out season 2?
I'm not going to tell you.
That was a test.
I won't tell you.
I'll find out next episode, don't I? Tell me with your eyes.
No, I won't tell you. So yeah. Anyways, Thanks for listening to Same Peaks, Y'all. Email us, samepeaksyall@gmail.com. Tweet at us, @SameTeamYall. Same Team Y'all, by the way, is our mother podcast.
Yeah, it's a podcast where basically it's both Tess and myself. We talk about stuff that we love, tales from our library, because we're both librarians, and important life lessons. It's kind of the, if this is the cast for people who like Twin Peaks, Same Team Y'all is the cast for people, period. That's every good. Person that's good. On Earth.
That's our demographic.
Yeah, people. Yeah. So, I would say trees, too. Yeah,
if you really love listening to Eric and I talk, you can listen every week, because you can listen to Same Peaks, Y'all, and then you can listen to Same Team, Y'all.
Yeah, and please tweet at us, @SameTeamYall. We're always there.
Yeah.
Hanging out.
Yeah, send us some pictures of Dale Cooper if you want.
Yeah.
I'd be down for that.
Yeah, I'll take that for sure. Thank you guys so much for listening. This coffee is hot.
Hot.
Coffee. This coffee is so hot.
Trees.
Bye, guys.
Bye.